We're just having a chat there, talking away. I suddenly thought I should probably get up and do the sermon, really. Well, a very warm welcome, a huge welcome, very warm welcome. It is very warm. Looking forward to the heat wave? Yep, it's good, isn't it? Sweaty heat waves. It's supposed to be thunderstorms as well, apparently, on Thursday, which would be nice. But anyway, let's wait and see what happens. For those who don't know, I'm Andy. I'm the pastor here at Wharton Baptist Church. A huge warm welcome to visitors, and it'd be great to chat to you afterwards. And welcome to the regulars. Yes, fantastic to see you again. So this morning's message, I'm going to be going there. I'm doing a Father's Day sermon. Oh, don't we love Father's Day? So I'm very aware that for some, it could be raising up some quite challenging emotions. Very aware of that. We haven't all had perfect fathers. For others, it's a great celebration for fathers, for grandparents, and for mentors. But bear with this message this morning. I believe that there is some hope if you've struggled with your parental figures. And there, as we know, we can have absolute assurance and confidence that God, our Heavenly Father, is the perfect Father. So a Father's Day sermon, I'm going to be asking for people to come and read passages. Please find it in your own version of the Bible and then come and read, see who gets here first, then you can read it. A big, massive melee of people. No, I want to read it first. I'm going to come. Please be careful of each other. No fist fighting. Be gentle and kind. Lovely. Okay, so let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can come again and gather and continue in our worship to you. We've already sung songs of praise, of adoration, honor and declaration to how awesome you are. And we continue now in our worship with hearing a message about who you are, Lord, the perfect Father. Lord, you know our journeys, you know our hearts, you know those things that go unspoken. You know what really is going on deep down. Thank you that in this mystery of faith, that you are omnipresent. And you have that living relationship with each and every one of us when we come to you. Help us to hear from you this morning, your tender love, that you are our perfect Father. Pray for words that are not from you, may they not take root. But words that are from you, from your heavenly throne room, may those words, those seeds, kingdom seeds, take root in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I am a father of four children. And as you all know, I am perfect in my parenthood. And you ask my children, any one of them, and they will say, we have the perfect dad. He never does anything wrong. In fact, he's never even raised his voice at all, ever. Not once. And also on top of that, they haven't turned around to me even this week and said, we thought you were supposed to be a pastor of a church. No, those things don't ever get spoken to me. Just ask them how wonderful I am. Yes, so today is Father's Day. We celebrate the men who have shaped our lives, our dads, grandfathers, mentors, and spiritual fathers. They have taught us, protected us, and loved us in their own imperfect ways. But today we also look to the source of all fatherhood. The Apostle John reminds us that every true fatherly love finds its origin in God. That's in 1 John 3:1. Human fathers are but reflections. God is the original. Amen? When we look at the word father, we see a beautiful picture of who God is to each and every one of us. Those at home, those here present, and those who may be hearing this at a future time, but also God is a father to everyone. But we've got to choose to accept that and to acknowledge him as God the Father. Okay, so the first bit of scripture, can somebody find, please, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. And when you have that verse, please come up and just read that to us. Thank you. Going to count down. 5, 4. Yes, well done. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24.
The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Thank you. Amen. The one who is he is faithful who has called you, and he will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. So, brilliant. F for Father, the first letter F. Faithful. Faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. Human fathers can be inconsistent. They may be absent, distracted, or unable to keep their promises. But God is unshakably faithful. His character does not change. His love does not waver. He has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. We can rest in the security of his faithfulness, knowing that he will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. F, faithful. Okay, the next bit of scripture, Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. And again, when you're ready, please come up and someone share Philippians 4, 19. Thank you, Sue.
And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Fantastic. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. A. All providing. All providing. So a good father provides for his family needs, one would hope. But God's provision goes far beyond the material. He provides for our physical needs, yes, but also our spiritual, emotional, and eternal needs. Wow. Spiritual, emotional, and eternal needs. He gives us his Holy Spirit, his word, his grace, and his peace. He is the source of good and perfect. So with our Heavenly Father, we do not have to strive for everything. We have a Father who delights in providing for us. It's interesting as a dad, as already explained. So there's that tension, isn't it? With kids, when they're young, they think, oh, dad, superhero. I've even got like a thing they gave me of Lego action figures, superheroes. Our dad is stronger than Hulk or whatever it is. And you think, yes. But then they start to get a bit older. And then they start to understand a bit more about human frailties. And they start to realise, actually, Dad's a bit of an idiot. Right? He's not quite as strong and robust as what we thought he was once upon a time. And then there's that tension. Then you get called all sorts of names. Wonderful, beautifully inspiring names like, oh, Dad, you're such a melt. Oh, Dad, such a muppet. And you think, oh, yeah, OK. So that human frailty kicks in, doesn't it? It kicks in. And then there's that struggle. So their independence comes. That kind of tension between, okay, I've been raised, I'm a child, you've got my fatherhood, you've got my mum, you've got both parents there, or whatever authority figures there, loving, nurturing figure. Some cases it's not loving and nurturing, but for this part of the talk, it's that loving, nurturing. And then you've got that tension of going, actually, I want to become my own person. But with our Heavenly Father, it's interesting. We've got to become more dependent on God the Father. In our human relationships, it tends to be children want to become more dependent on their own two feet. But with our Heavenly Father, we need to become more dependent on Him, because He will provide for all of our needs. Amen. So F, what was F? Yes, faithful. And A, all providing. Fantastic. T, so can somebody please find Psalm 103, verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13. And then please come up when you have that and share that verse. Thank you, David.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
Amen. Thank you. Oof. So tender-hearted. T, tender-hearted. God is not a distant, indifferent deity. He is tender-hearted. He sees our struggles, He feels our pain, and He cares deeply about our joys and our sorrows. Remember, Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus welcomed little children. Our Heavenly Father has a heart that breaks when we break. Ooh, is that theologically sound and is that right? Can God's heart break? Does He have a heart? Ooh, okay. But I think you can read scripture and you can understand that God is an emotional God. He's a jealous God. He's a fierce God, but He's a loving, tender-hearted God too. Gentle, kind, patient, especially in our weakness. We've already sung that song, O Come to the Altar. When you're tired, when you're burnt out, when you feel that sin is overwhelmed, keep coming to the altar. Keep trusting. Keep surrendering. Know that we have that life of grace and freedom. Yes, sin is real. But God's love is fierce. That tender-hearted nature. He doesn't discard us, dismiss us when we make mistakes. He welcomes us wholeheartedly, that tender love, kind, patient. H, holy. 1 Peter 1:16. 1 Peter 1:16. Well done, Jeff.
and I've got iffy eyesight. For it is written, be holy because I am holy.
Thank you.
Sweet. Was it worth it?
Great, thank you. That anticipation. No, it's brilliant. Hey, it is short and sweet, but it's short and wow, has such a profound connotation. Be holy because I am holy. That's God saying that. Holiness, H, holy. So a father wants his children to reflect his character. God is holy. He is set apart, pure and righteous. He calls us to holiness, not to burden us, but to set us free. I think there's such a misconception of following God on that narrow path, and it becomes all heavy and burdensome and arguably religious and you know, just and we will never live up to that perfect expectation. None of us are perfect. For those who think maybe you are, I've got news for you. You're not. Massive fingers pointing back at me. I am certainly not. Far from it. We're called to walk that narrow path of holiness, but with that love and that grace and that mercy. Yes, we're called to holiness. We should be trying to kind of roll up our sleeves and being holy because God is holy, being in the world, not of the world, walking that narrow path, not just taking faith flippantly. Sin is real. But it's that love and that grace and that mercy that when we keep coming to the altar, that living sacrifice, we can truly be set free. All those burdens can be removed. We should take this seriously. Absolutely. God desires for us to live in a way that honours him and brings us true life. Not sentimentality, but true life, living faith. He is working in us, sanctifying us, making us more like his son, Jesus Christ. His holiness is not just a standard, but it's a gift that he pours out through his spirit. H, holy. T, tender-hearted. A, all-providing. And F, faithful. Okay, next one. E, eternal. Can somebody please read John 8, 58? John 8, 58. Thank you, Richard. He's ready. Look, this is his second one. Wow.
The wonders of electronic Bibles. John 8:58. Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. So human fathers have a limited time on this earth. They age, don't we know it? They grow frail, and one day they will pass from this life. But our Heavenly Father is eternal. He has no beginning and no end, the Alpha and the Omega. His love spans from eternity past to eternity future. May this give us hope. Our relationship with God is not temporary, but it's everlasting. That's amazing. It's incredible. It's not a temporary relationship. It's everlasting. We are adopted into his family for eternity, secure in his unending love. Wow. Eternal. Okay, the next last letter, R. Any idea what R may be? Anybody?
Royal.
Royal, righteous. Reliable. These are all fantastic. It's not the right one, though.
Real.
Real. Yes, great, fantastic. Okay. Redeemer. Redeemer. Can somebody please read Psalm 111, verse 9? Psalm 111, verse 9. Oh, it's Jeff again.
He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever, holy and awesome in his name. So I'll say that again. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever, holy and awesome in his name.
Amen. Thank you. So R, Redeemer. Arguably, this is the most profound truth about our Heavenly Father. We have all sinned. We are all sinners. This word orphaned, I wasn't too sure whether to use this word, but I've kept it in there. We have all been orphaned from God by our sin. But God, in his incredible grace, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from our sin. It's the most incredible gift ever. Perfect gift, perfect sacrifice. So through the cross, we are not just forgiven, we are adopted. Now, not through a bit of wooden material made by man, no, but the cross representing Jesus Christ. We sung again this morning, the blood of Jesus, that sacrifice. The lion and the lamb, the spotless sacrifice. What a beautiful, incredible, mysterious, profound, insert any other incredible or inspiring words, but through the cross, we are not just forgiven, but we are adopted into his family, into our Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, name above all other names, into his family. Wow. The ultimate Father is also the ultimate Redeemer, who paid the price to bring us home. Today, as we honour the fathers in our lives, let us also worship the Father in heaven. He is faithful, all-providing, tender-hearted, holy, eternal Redeemer. If you have known only the absence of a father, know that God has not left you orphaned. He invites you into his family. Receive him as your father today and rest in the perfect love of the one who is father to us all. Amen. Just like to respond to that message with a little bit of a pastoral heart. So as we close this message on the perfect Father, I want to pause and speak directly to the hearts of everyone here today. Father's Day is a day of celebration for many, but for others, it is a day of complex emotions. If you have felt unworthy, God's holiness cleanses, not condemns. If you have faced the end of a relationship with loss, God's eternity holds you. And if you have felt orphaned by sin or circumstance, God's redemption has already brought you home. For those of you whom today is difficult, because your father was absent, distant, or abusive. To those of you for whom today is difficult because you have lost a father too soon. Those of you for whom today is difficult because you became a parent yourself without the model you wished you had, or because you have never known the love of a human father. I want you to hear this really clearly. You are not an accident. You are not an afterthought. You are not alone. The sermon we just heard was not just a list of attributes. May I suggest it was an invitation. The God who is faithful, all-providing, tender-hearted, holy, eternal Redeemer is not a distant concept. He is a Father who is actively seeking you and I. There's a song from a band back in the day called Delirious. God didn't mess up when he made you. He's a Father who loves to parade you. If your human father failed you, God's faithfulness does not fail. If you have lacked provision, God's care does not lack. If you have known harshness, God's tenderness is real. If you have felt unworthy, God's holiness cleanses and not condemns. The Apostle John wrote that we are called children of God, and that is who we are. When we accept that we are all sinners, when we lean and call out and cry out to Jesus Christ, Savior, there's that restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. So today, if you are hurting, bring that hurt to him. He is the Father who runs to meet you. As Chris shared earlier, he is the Father who runs to meet you. He is the Father who lifts you up when we fall, when we're hurt. He is the Father who says, "You are my son. You are my daughter. And I love you. I care for you. I want to know you more, be in this relationship with you." So may you rest in that truth today. You are loved. You are held. And you are home. going to invite Chris and Chris to come and lead us in a response. So I'm going to pray, and may we have this opportunity to take on these words, to come back to our Heavenly Father, and to know that you are called, loved, and chosen. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you obeyed your Heavenly Father, led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we can know you as our Father in heaven. Thank you, God, that you're not just a distant entity or a fabricated idol, but you are truly God, true and authentic and real, and that we can have a right relationship with you. Thank you, God, that you delight in us, you love us. But we are challenged by that conviction, not condemnation, that we've got to be holy because you're holy. But we live in a world that's so difficult and hard and stressful and emotional and distracting and take us away from who you are. But thank you that by your grace, love and mercy, that we can truly know you on that narrow path to being in the world, not of the world, but not heavy and burdensome and all bound and restricted by this legalism. No. But we can know that freedom and that joy and that life and passion to be in the world, not of the world, with you as our Heavenly Father, with Jesus, your Son, as our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, equipping us and teaching us. Lord, may you help us to keep coming back to you. Help us to walk in your love and your grace and your mercy. And again, Lord, you know those things that are painful. Things that have really hurt us from frailed and failed father figures. May you set us free. Help us to embrace the truth. May we take comfort and joy in knowing you, our Heavenly Father. Amen.